Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And just a reminder, tonight's Nashville Sounds game has been postponed until tomorrow. So if you had tickets for the game tonight for opening day, go check out the Sounds on Saturday. We'll have all of your Nashville Sounds coverage on 94.9 The Fan. Nasty weather out there tonight, so everybody stay safe. But when we talk about this Predators team, at least since the trade deadline, the topics of conversation, very rightfully so, have been, oh my gosh, look at the young guys. Look at how this young core, the Cody Glasses, the Luke Evangelistas of the team, have been able to step up and play a role and keep this team in the playoff conversation. I think they deserve that conversation, and they deserve the accolades because they have done what I didn't think, or I don't think anyone around the NHL would have thought they could do, and that's keep this Nashville Predators team afloat. But I don't think that we're giving enough credit to UC Saros for what he has done really this entire season, but especially since the trade deadline. You look at that game against the Bruins, UC Saros had a 9.56 save, excuse me, last night had a 9.56 save percentage, and then against the Bruins had a 9.72 save percentage. UC Saros is playing absolutely out of his freaking mind. And when we give accolades to the young guys for keeping this team in the mix, I mean, UC Saros, I think, has to be the first topic of conversation when you talk about Predators keeping this team in the playoff conversation, because UC Saros has been fantastic for this team.
No question about it. He played about as well as a goalie can play last night. They couldn't score. I think everybody knew it was going to be tough without Roman Josi. Ever since Josi's been out of the lineup, we talked about this yesterday, they've struggled to generate offense. Josi is probably the best generator of offense, not only with the shots that he takes, but the shots that he sets up for his teammates. I mean, that's what the team is built around, and they haven't had him. And ever since he went out of the lineup, you can see it. They have struggled to score, except against Buffalo in the one game. But when you're playing the Bruins and you're playing the Penguins, you kind of know you're going to take some heat. That's where Saros has been just out of this world here recently. He's not going to win the Vezina Trophy this year, but I hope he gets recognized for how well he has played based on the situation. For example, last night, they're playing without Roman Josi and Alex Carrier. That's been the case. But then during the game, Dante Favreau misses a chunk of the second period because he took a shot off of the arm, left the game for a while. That was trouble for Favreau's been playing really well, stepping up. But now he's out. You only have five defensemen, and that's when Pittsburgh really started picking up the heat. Then they lost Jeremy Lauzon in the third period, and you're back down to five defensemen. So for most of the game, they were playing without an important defenseman. And so that's even more heat on UC Saros. And yet he kept him in the game, kept him within one goal for most of the game. So that is probably the most encouraging thing that you have going forward is you're still without – you had the four guys you traded, but you're still playing without six regular guys, your top four highest-paid players, very, very important players, and yet you're still competitive against Pittsburgh and Boston. You get a split of that road trip. That was, again, really good. You're buying time, and you're running out of time here, but, man, you would love to see what this team would look like if they just had – just give me four of those six guys back. What would it look like? So – I don't know if it's going to happen here. You've got an interesting game tonight with the Flames playing the Jets head-to-head. Somebody's going to get 2 points, and so you're going to fall further behind one of them.
Each fringy team.
You hope it doesn't go to overtime where both teams get points. But what you would love to see is can you stay in the race mathematically enough to where you go on that last two-game road trip to play those two teams at Winnipeg, at Calgary, with something on the line? We'll see. That's the next stage to get to. You got the Blues tomorrow, who they're playing pretty loose right now. They're scoring a lot. They're giving up a ton, right? They've checked out. That's, again, the perspective. Nashville has stayed in the fight. They've stayed competitive. They've stayed locked in. The minute St. Louis started selling, they crumbled. They completely collapsed. So it's a tribute to the guys in that locker room to stay on task and stay in the race because they could have checked out.
And nobody expected St. Louis to ascend all of a sudden. But to be completely fair, I didn't expect this team to be where they are now. Like looking at the Athletic power rankings, Nashville's at 19 and St. Louis is at 24, which may not sound like a huge difference, but look at these two teams and they did very similar things at the trade deadline, selling off some of their top players, selling off some of their top assets. And that's the difference between those two teams, that St. Louis is trending downward. And in Nashville, at least there's some hope. But you bring up something that really does kind of make me upset, and that's the fact that UC Saros will not win the Vezina, and I don't know how much consideration he's really going to get. And looking at the Vezina odds, this is on sportsbettingdime.com. I don't know what that is, but we'll go with it. He currently has the 7th best odds to win the Vezina at plus 4,000. That's a long shot for UC Saros, and the way that he's playing, he deserves the accolades and he deserves the recognition, but it's the same thing as NFL MVP. If you're not a playoff team, you're not going to win MVP, even if you're playing absolutely out of your mind as a quarterback. Yeah. So that's kind of the tough thing about it, is he's not going to get the Vezina nods that I think he deserves.
I think you're right, and I subscribe to this, right? I think you should. I think if you're playing on a winning team, you should get a nod over somebody who's not.
Yeah.
That's totally fair.
Fair.
And Olmark, who we just saw in Boston, Nashville beat him 2-1. Saros, I guess, outdueled him, and it's kind of a pitcher's duel. Olmark should, and I think will, win the Vezina.
His
numbers are just
odds.
Unbelievable. Yeah, he should win it. To the victor goes the spoils, right? I think Sorokin for the Islanders is going to be a finalist. I would love to see Saros get consideration to be a finalist, because if you're a finalist in the top three, that's something that is recognized year in and year out, that you're a finalist. I think he's been worthy of that, but only if you look past the numbers. If you look at the heat he has taken on, the quality of the shots that he's faced, and what he's done with that, I think he ranks up there just with just about anybody. The degree of difficulty for him is much higher than it is for Olmark or even Sorokin, or any of the other guys that I think are considered for the Vezina. But that's ultimately, I think, sometimes overlooked. It's the general managers for the NHL that actually vote for the Vezina. So I've wondered this for my whole career. How much is Bill Guerin in Minnesota paying attention to what UC Saros is doing? He probably is to a degree. But when he's voting for that, like, is he really crunching the numbers? If I were a GM, I don't have time to do that. I'm worried about my team. I'm worried about what's going on from the, you know. So I've never understood really why the general managers vote for that. It doesn't make sense.
You'd think the writers would, like most other awards.
The writers, if you're doing your job, you should do some. Like we got mad at this last year when Yossi got overlooked on a couple ballots and finished below Cale Makar in a really close vote. There were some people that didn't have Roman Yossi in the top three, which I thought was a total crime. So there's flaws any way you want to do it. But
now, does the players have a say in the Vezina?
No. Don't vote for any of the
awards.
Why
wouldn't the players have a vote? They're the guys that are going to gut.
Well, just that was like during your career, right? During your career is when they had the vote. The players began to have a say.
Exactly.
That, right?
That
was interesting.
They should account for at least, 25% of the vote, or 33% of the vote if you're doing it, players, fans, and then, GMs or whoever else. It should be split that way, because who knows them better than anybody else? The players that play against these goalies.
That's a great question for Elliot next week, is maybe should they look at that, have a collaboration, have writers, players, and maybe general managers.
Exactly. So
25%. Vote, and together, together you come up with your winners.
Exactly.
And right now where it stands, so Olmark has the best odds to win the Vezina at minus 350. It's Olmark, Sorokin, and Hellebuck right now, just based off of odds, who would be your Vezina.
And Hellebuck's, he's very worthy, no question about it. Although he sagged. If you notice the Jets, why are the Predators still within striking distance?
Because
of the
Jets haven't taken care of business.
They haven't. They're not scoring very well. And also Hellebuck has not quite stayed as sharp. Like Saros, he's worked very heavily. They rely on him a lot. Nashville has a much better backup this year. Who was the backup for Hellebuck? Nashville's backup last year, David Rittich, who's not quite as trustworthy as Kevin Lankin in it. So Hellebuck's maybe worn down a little bit.
615-737-1025 is your phone, is our phone number. I see your thoughts on this, and we're right to those coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, and hey, Tune in for Nashville Sounds baseball this season on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds have postponed their game tomorrow night and will play a doubleheader tomorrow, taking on the Louisville Bats, AAA affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds at First Horizon Park. First pitch will be at 5.05 p.m. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company and Family Leisure. If you had to pick one team that's kind of on the fringe of the playoffs, either in a wild card spot or vying for a wild card spot, that you think would not be in the playoffs come playoff time, who do you think it would be?
Well, you know, I think this at this time of year, Carolyn, I always pick by goaltending. And, like, I look in the West, and, like, you guys have a superb goalie there. Now, I still think the challenge is big for you guys. You know, like you've got, we just last answer we talked about how your team has been a little bit rejuvenated. You know, it's still, I just wonder, like, some of these young guys who played so well, have they played as many of these big games before at the end of the season? And how are they going to do? Like, you still had some results. Like, even though that, as impressive as that Boston win was the other night, you've had a couple of results that, you know, haven't been as strong. So I wonder if you guys have the overall consistency to get there. But I think if Soros gives you a chance, and he often does, you know, I think you guys have a shot.
That was Elliot Friedman of the 32 Thoughts podcast and Sportsnet on our show yesterday. If the Preds have a shot at the playoffs, it's going to lie on the shoulders of UC Soros. And I think we would all kind of agree with that.
And he did his part last night. Unfortunately, they couldn't score. They just couldn't get enough. So that was before the game last night. Right. So the math is a little more of a steep climb after coming up short last night. But it wasn't because of Soros. He was phenomenal last night.
And you had an interesting stat, because the Predators did come up short ultimately in Pittsburgh last night. However, it could have been a lot uglier.
Oh, yeah. What Sport Logic, and Nick cited Money Puck. There's different sites that will calculate, because what for the longest time, right, just like we did in baseball or basketball, you just look or football, you're like, well, how many catches, how many yards, you know, what's your batting average, the baseline stats, and those are still important stats, right? It's about stats, results, but with each passing year, there's more layers to how you can calculate a player's effectiveness. And so for goalies, what they try to calculate is take the quality of shots that he faced, and then let's measure how he did. Mm-hmm. So last night, if you look at the quality of the shots that the Penguins got and the number of shots, an average goalie is going to give up about 6 goals in that game. The Penguins ended up with 2 against Soros.
So
he
impressive.
Saved basically 4 goals. I think the official tally was 3.91. according to the site we use for the Predators broadcast, Sport Logic. Mm-hmm. Now, Nick looked at Money Puck. I look at Sports Logic. Only Ullmark is ahead of Soros in goals saved above expected for the season. Mm-hmm. Right? So if you take a look, the opposition should have somewhere between 28 and 40 goals more than they've actually scored if you had an average goalie in there. But when Soros is there, because Soros is there, they've given up that much more less. For example, they've won 12 games by a score of 2-1. I mean, that's a huge number right there. When you score two, you're not going to win very often. But they've got 12 2-1 wins because of Soros. And Lankinen's got 2 or 3 of those as well, where he's played really well. So I think Soros has 16 one-goal wins. So the margin for error that he's up against is high. And that's where they've got to bolster the rest of the roster going forward, right? They've got to pick out who they like from this young group that's playing right now. They've got to take the salary cap space that they cleared and address how they're going to improve the team going forward. And I think that's the overall goal, because when you have a great goalie, you can win. You're not far from winning. But you can see right now there's just too much that they're relying on Soros right now. So I think as Barry Trotz takes over, that's probably going to be his number one thing. How do I make this team a little more fortified around one of the best 3 to 5 goalies in the league?
I mean, he can be a rock star, but you don't want to have to ask him to be an absolute rock star every single night. You got to give him some help eventually.
Yep.
Let's get to your phones on this. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought, Nate texts in and says, Saros isn't an unsung hero. Fans, local media, and broadcasters know if Saros was not the goalie, the Preds would be losing by 3 to 6 goals a game.
Which, 3 to 6 goals a game.
That's a pretty wide that's margin, a lot, 3 to 6.
Yeah.
But
I get his point. He's right.
I get the point. But I feel like we as broadcasters, media may have a tendency that whenever a player does great things all the time, you don't give it as much notoriety maybe as it deserves. Because you may go into every single Predators game and say, oh, 9-6 save percentage from UC Saros. Well, that's just what he does. But that's remarkable. So I think that while, no, he's not an unsung hero, I think you also have to take a step back and say, wow, what he's doing really is impressive, even if it's not new, even if you can almost expect him to do it every single night.
Yeah, and Derek, let's look at the Titans. Over the course of the career, or the course of us being a major league city in Nashville, we've seen the Titans with excellent quarterbacks, and we've seen them with not so good quarterbacks, and we see what the difference is. The quarterback is a lot like the goalie in hockey, and this is where the Predator fans, I think, I don't want to say spoiled, because I think, like Nate's saying, they understand. But this market has never really watched what it's like. And I'm not looking forward to that day if it ever comes. I hope it doesn't ever come, because they got the next guy coming up through the ranks who looks like he could be pretty special in Askarov. But we've never really seen in this city a hockey team not have good goaltending from the very, very beginning. You know, Mike Dunham was pretty good, and then Thomas Vokoun comes along and is better. And all of a sudden, he's elevating them, kind of like Saros is doing. So he was a great goaltender. Then, not far after, you had your Chris Masons, you had your Dan Ellis's, solid, solid guys. And then here comes Pekka for the next generation. And then Pekka hands it off to UC Saros. So there's never been a time where they haven't had solid to outstanding goaltending. And a lot of teams are looking around going, gosh, what would we do? Like, we would do anything to get one of these guys, because they haven't had it. Those guys are not easy to find.
I think when you get into situations like that, when you're playing consistently at a bad level, people are going to remind you every time, like, you're horrible. They need to make changes, regardless of what the situation is. They need to, it's always this chatter and talk. But when you are playing at a high level consistently, like a UC Saros is, they tend to forget, like you said, Caroline, how good he's playing. Because to them, it's the norm. Well, it's not the norm. It may be the norm that we see it, you know, on our team. But it's not, ask some other teams around the league and see what their norm is. It's not a .96 save percentage, I tell you that.
Yeah, let's take the Blues tomorrow. And Caroline, you know this.
Yeah.
Jordan Binnington, he emerged and he led them to a Stanley Cup, which was, and he carried the team on his shoulders. But he's been very up and down since then. When he's on, they're pretty good. But part of the reason that they've struggled this year, he hasn't had
it's
a good
not
year.
Consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I think, the same conversation we have about Derrick Henry. When everyone's like, oh, he's, you know, he's taking steps back. He had 1,500 yards last year. I mean, when Derrick Henry has 75 yards rushing, we're like, what's wrong with Derrick Henry? Because we're used to 150-yard games from Derrick Henry. Sometimes you just get spoiled. Let's get your thoughts on it. Ed is on the line. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up, Ed?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Couple of things. The value of a UC Saros really comes to light when you consider how much time the Preds spend on their heels back in their defensive zone as opposed to being in their offensive zone. And then you compare that to clubs like Boston with Omark, or, say, Tampa Bay with an Andre Vasilevsky. And that just tells you how good a UC Saros is. Makes you wonder how good a Vasilevsky or an Omark would be if the amount of time their club spent in their offensive zone versus defensive zone was reversed. Because, you know, those guys, if you watch their club, they're sitting back, you know, drinking water and watching Stamkos and his buddies in their offensive zone. And they get a little more rest than the Yusuf Saros does.
Yeah, good call, yeah, Ed. Thank
that's
you.
A good point. Vasilevsky, I think his playoff record speaks for his greatness. I mean, I think he's if you're ranking him just by, you know, the accolades, you got to go with him, number one, just because when everything's on the line in the Stanley Cup playoffs, he's been brilliant. So you're right. He's got a great team in front of him. That's how you win a cup. You got to have a great team. But his greatness, I don't question. Ullmark is an interesting one because he was on the Sabres a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. He wasn't all that great. A couple years ago, he was a free agent. He was good. And the Bruins were like, hey, if he came on our team, we could probably get some pretty good numbers out of him. And sure enough, they've hit the jackpot with him. He has taken another step. He's a big guy, 6'5", but it all starts over in the playoffs, right? That's the next thing. And that's the next thing for Juuse Saros, right? They need to put a good team in front of him and in the playoffs have him be able to carry them, because that's what a great goalie will do in the postseason. Mm-hmm. That's what Pekka Rinne did in 2017. He didn't have a great regular season, Pekka Rinne, and that's why they were the eighth seed. Mm-hmm. Right, Pekka was a little bit up and down. The structure in front of him wasn't great, but it came together at the right time, and he carried them within two games of winning the whole thing. So that's a whole separate discussion, too, is playoff success, right? That's what separates great goalies. We have that same conversation with quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. It is almost time for the Final Four, and I feel a type of way about it, and I don't want to feel this way about it, and I'm hoping Willie and D-Maze can help me out here. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 1025-1063, the game. They're playing basketball all around the world. It's almost Final Four time, people. Saturday is Final Four day. Tonight is the women's Final Four games. And this is kind of how I'm feeling about the women's versus men's Final Four games. And I'll admit, you know, women's Final Four has always been something that I watched, but never something that has been appointment watching for me. This year, it is. And you'll probably say, oh, you went to LSU, LSU with the Final Four. Iowa, South Carolina.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah. It's the truth. Iowa, South Carolina is my appointment watching tonight in the women's Final Four because they're just two really great teams. Caitlin Clark, Aaliyah Boston, two of the best players in women's basketball. And the men's Final Four is something that I get excited for every year. Like, we all do get excited for it every single year. I'm not feeling the juice for the men's Final Four this year. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's since I've been so invested in the women's Final Four. I don't know if it's just the grandeur of the names and the reputations don't carry the same juice in this year's Final Four as maybe like a UNC Duke, Coach K's final game in the Final Four last year. I don't know what it is. I'm just not feeling the juice for the Final Four this year. And I don't know if I'm alone in that.
Interesting. I'll say this. On the women's end, I have really been captured by this tournament. It's been a lot of fun. Richard Deitch, who we have on all the time, he has always been a champion of women's basketball. I'm the son of a women's basketball coach, so I spent a lot of time in the stands watching my dad coach a Division III team up in New York. So I've always loved it. But, man, there's something about this year. Like, Caitlin Clark is a star. Like, that's, I don't care what sport you're watching. When you watch her, you're like, wow, check this out. Like, she hit for 41, a triple-double with 41 points. Phenomenal performance. But it's like, I don't know, the games have been really good.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of drama. There's a lot of players that seem to just jump out and grab your attention with some star power. Then you've got LSU's coach, who is awesome, Kim Mulkey.
Yeah, she's literally star-studded.
I mean, just, yeah, steals the show on the side. So it's really compelling TV. And Richard Deitch is predicting record viewership tonight, which I think would be really cool. I hope they hit a new mark there, so that's good. But I'm still in on the men's Final Four. Men's college basketball for sure. You know, I recently watched, and I'm reminded of this every time. You watch Survive in Advance, a great 30 for 30 on Jim Valvano and the great North Carolina State team of 83. Mm-hmm. There's a clip in there with Coach K. And Coach K was in a lot of eras, but he said, if you take college basketball in the 80s, before, and so I would even stretch it to about 1993, 1994, before players routinely left after 1 or 2 years. When the college players stayed, like Michael Jordan for 3 years, Shaq for 3 years, Patrick Ewing for 4 years, college basketball during those years from about Magic and Bird, mm-hmm. late 70s until about 1993, 94. It doesn't get any better than that. And I don't know if it'll ever be that good again.
I don't think it will be, even though the athletes are much better from a physical standpoint, the agility and everything else. They're better, but they're not staying in college longer. They are out. Some guys are one and done. Some guys are staying 2 years and then done. Very seldom do you see a player of a Patrick Ewing caliber or Michael Jordan caliber, Sam Perkins, those guys that play, you know, year after year, Hakeem Olajuwon, guys that play 1, 2, 3 years in college. You're not going to see that anymore. They have that type of talent. They're either going straight to the NBA or they're giving us 1 year and then they're gone. So I don't think college basketball from that standpoint will ever be what it was. But to me, college, you know, men's basketball is still a must watch when it comes to the tournament. It still is. Because of the situation that we have right now, where you have San Diego State, FAU, Miami, and UConn. Now, if you want to say, well, there's only one true blue blood in the, you know, in the Final Four, and that's UConn. And you're right. But this is why we like college. This is why so many people gravitate. Even if you're not an avid college basketball watcher, March Madness come, you're watching it. Yeah, because there's going to be upsets. I think it can't happen every year, even though, because Coach McDermott brought it up. McDevitt brought it up from MTSU. Because of these transfers and these portals and everything else, this may be the norm.
Yeah, it's becoming the norm.
What we see now, it may be the norm because these men are able to transfer now and play that same year. So this may end up being the norm where we see teams like FAU, Kansas State go as far as they did, Miami in the Final Four. You know, we may not see all the time UNC, Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, Michigan State, Michigan. Those teams may not be in it all the time. This is what the landscape is going to look like, I believe, moving forward because of the transfer portal.
I always say the transfer portal giveth and the transfer portal taketh
away. Oh, isn't that true?
And it's true for each individual team because you can lose your players, you can gain players, but I also think it's true when you're looking at the scope of a sport as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I look at the transfer portal has given some of these mid-major players an opportunity to play at a Power 5 team and to be able to play at the highest level of college basketball. But now you introduce NIL, and now it's incentivizing some of these players who are at a Power 5 level to transfer to a mid-major school, like an FAU or San Diego State or some of these smaller schools that we've seen have a ton of success in the tournament. So the transfer portal will give to the mid-major some really solid players that came from the Power 5 level that are either coming for NIL or playing opportunities, but it'll also take some really solid players away.
Yeah, it will. So that's why I think this will continue. This will happen more times than not. If people are looking at this and say, this is not going to happen again where, you know, one of the blue bloods are not in. No, this is going to happen more times than not. Why? Because these men are able to transfer and go to other universities. It may be a mid-major university, taking a team like FAU to a Final Four or a Creighton to a Elite Eight or something like that. It's going to happen more times than not. And then on the women's side, you know, I think the sport will continue to garner attention. I think it sort of lost it a little bit because it wasn't that UConn-UT rivalry, so to speak.
Women's blue blood.
Exactly. Those that just controlled, and it was a must watch when you went to these, you know, when you're talking about those two clubs, and there were other clubs involved. But I think now it's starting to come back around, and they got to thank Staley for what, you know, what she's doing. I think if people got sort of tired of UConn winning, sort of like you get tired of the Goliath being the Goliath, you know. But now insert South Carolina and what they're doing. Now people are re-energized. Again, UT is coming back around. You know, they had some down years. Now they're coming back around. They're starting to be a force. UConn has been a force. They're always going to be a force. Iowa's a force. So now you add all of these different types of teams in there where you just can't look at one team now. You got multiple women basketball teams that are playing at a high level that are capable of winning it.
And I think that's the difference for me, at least from my perspective, of my excitement and buy-in to the women's Final Four versus the men's this year. There's so many personalities in the women's
Final
Four.
The personalities are gripping. It grabs your attention. Yeah,
It's hard to ignore. And whether it's coaches like Dawn Staley and Kim Mulkey with their sparkly jackets, or players like an Angel Reese from LSU, a Caitlin Clark from Iowa, who you cannot ignore, Aaliyah Boston in South Carolina. She is so fun to watch. They all have such magnetic personalities that you want to turn on and watch. And they have been performing so well that it's good basketball to watch. Whereas on the men's side, you know, you've got Jim Larrañaga, who I think is a personality that is always going to be beloved around college basketball spaces. But really, besides that, there's nothing, there's no individual player or coach or program that's really drawing me in. And of course, I'm still going to watch, of course.
I think, too, the coverage that ESPN does on this tournament for the women's is excellent. ESPN, I think, has a varying degree. There's some things, and look, the hockey, I think it's a little better this year in year two than it was year one, but I still think they have a tendency sometimes to not put their full resources behind it. I would say the men's college game, they carry so many games, right? There's only so many high level announcers, but I think the production and the effort behind each game is lacking sometimes because there's so many games. But man, when they put everything behind it, I think their coverage of the women's tournament has been outstanding.
I think when it comes to that, they've been truly, and I'm sure they've had meetings, they've been truly intentional about how they are branding women's basketball on ESPN. They are purposely like making sure that games are watched, games are available for you to watch, especially during this time of the month where March Madness is going on. They want to make sure they're doing everything they possibly can to make sure those viewership goes up when it comes to college basketball on the women's side.
And those are roots that truly were laid down by Pat Summitt.
Yeah.
And then you look at Kobe Bryant and how much emphasis he placed on getting attention into the women's game. And I think you are kind of seeing the fruits of their labor come to fruition. Well, let's pick those games. We've got some Final Four games, women's tonight. We've got men's on Saturday night. We've got the men's tournament on Tuesday, the championship rather on Tuesday. So let's pick some of those games coming up next. And of course, your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mason, hey, be caller 3 now for your chance to win a Preds swag bag. That's season tickets for the Predators in 2023-2024 season. They are on sale now. The Preds will be celebrating their 25th anniversary throughout the 23-24 season. So that's not something that you're going to miss out on. Caller 3 now for a Preds swag bag. 1025-1063 the game. AJ, 1025 the game of the Preds energy team at the Rusty Nail in Hermitage on Monday, April 3rd, for the Preds Road Watch Party as your Nashville Predators take on the Dallas Stars. Enjoy $3 two-lane beer drafts, a great local atmosphere with a large outdoor patio and volleyball courts. Plus, you can try some of their great food, especially the wings. Those are delicious. That's 1025 the game and Preds energy team at the Rusty Nail on Monday, April 3rd. See you there. Want to pick the games this weekend, Final Four games. We've got San Diego State. We've got FAU and then Miami UConn. But first, I want to get to one of these text phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought. One texter texted in and said, if you saw the same games being played, but they wore different jerseys, would you feel different about the Final Four? Honestly, probably. And I don't like admitting that because the games have been good. These are good teams.
Yeah.
FAU is such a fun team to watch. Miami is such a fun team to watch. But I do think that there's a little bit of fanfare that comes with wearing a Kansas, UNC, Duke, or Kentucky jersey. I think that's just the reality of sports, honestly. It's the same thing with the World Series this past year. Astros and Braves. That's not the sexiest matchup in baseball history.
But it's an interesting question. I don't think I look at it that way, but what I miss is watching a guy in a team go from freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, like, and building. You know, the roster is going to change a little bit every year, but going back to that golden era, right? Adam Vingan just came in and was shouting out Christian Laettner, but you watch Christian Laettner from being a freshman with some older Duke players, and then he becomes a sophomore and a junior, and then here comes Bobby Hurley, here comes Billy McCaffrey, here comes Grant Hill. You know, these are all guys that you watch go through a program. So it's not so much what the school is, but it's the number of players that I've watched over the last 3 or 4 years. If there's a pool of them that I'm familiar with, that makes it a lot easier to connect and enjoy. And that's what you just don't have. Every team is very different every year for the most part. And if a guy's really, really good and fun to watch, he's going pro.
Oh, yeah, he's not going to be there that long. Now, I would admit, if, you know, FAU was Michigan State, San Diego State was Arizona, or who else is in that region? I don't know. Alabama, let's just say Alabama, because they had an easy sort of road and they messed it up. If it was Alabama, Michigan State, UConn, and say Indiana, or, you know, one of these other teams that was in that bracket that have been consistently like top tier teams, I would look at it a little bit different, you know, just because of the name on a jersey. And, you know, right, whether it be right or wrong, if those four teams were different, well, three out of the four was different, I probably would look at this a little bit, you know, different. I'm you would really be excited about the Final Four. But from what I've seen, it still should be a excellent Final Four.
Oh, it is.
By the way that I've seen these teams play, you know, and if you look at UConn, honestly, this is a team that started off, what, 13-0? Then they kind of went through there. But for the most part, this, from top to bottom, if you look at their roster, they probably have been the most complete team in college basketball because they can beat you multiple ways. They got big guys in the inside, 7'2 guy. They got guys on the outside that can shoot. They play really good defense. But for whatever reason, they just sort of kind of fell through the cracks in a sense. You know, because they would end up being a 4 seed.
Right.
But this has been a good team all season, UConn.
Yeah, they're the overwhelming favorite.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say overwhelming, but they're a clear favorite in this Final Four. And I think they're pretty loaded when you get to it. But again, it's not – think about the UConns back in the day when you had guys every – you know, Rip Hamilton. You had guys that were there for more than 1 year, right? Stan, it was continuity. This is more of a UConn where – you're just getting familiar with their star players. And I don't know how different their team's going to look next year, but this is a really good team. They're fun to watch. They have a lot of weapons.
Did I hear correctly, and I was listening to Chase and Michelle, and I think Michelle said, in the last 25 years, UConn has won, five championships?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
They've been two.
And nobody's really said anything about that. So every 5 years they go to a championship game. That's great.
In the last 25 years, they've been to more Final Fours than Kentucky.
Exactly.
Than Kansas. Than Duke. Than a lot of these blue bloods. But we don't look at UConn the same way that we look at the traditional
blue
bloods.
We
should. They deserve it.
Because UConn's a part of the Big East.
Yeah.
Old Big East.
The Huskies.
Probation. A couple times. Probation.
Let's pick these games. Nick. Take it away.
Yeah, you guys dissected it perfectly, so let's just do some rapid fire here. So we got FAU taking on San Diego State, and the Aztecs are a 2.5-point favorite.
I'll pick this game first. This is going to be a really, really fun game to watch. But I think Florida Atlantic, with the physicality that they play with, I mean, it's going to be tough to beat that team. This San Diego State team is a very good team as well. I'm going to take Florida Atlantic to advance the national title game.
Man. FAU has just been, they've been playing excellent basketball throughout the whole tournament. And it's, I can't go away from that. So give me FAU.
Man, I'm rooting for FAU. I'm rooting for them. I just have a feeling that the bubble's going to burst here. The defense for San Diego State is so tough. I just think that that's gonna get them over the hump here. But I am rooting for FAU. But I'll take San Diego State.
You're such a downer, Willie, on yeah. Conference USA. I will always go with my Conference USA teams. But our next matchup is between Miami and UConn. You guys were already hitting the nail on the head with UConn. But UConn is a 5.5-point favorite. I'm interested to see how that matchup goes. But what do you guys think?
I'm picking UConn. I think they're just the most complete team. I think they can beat you several different ways. I think they can beat you inside. I think they can beat you outside if you want to pack the middle. Play great defense. You know, in the middle, you're not getting anything off without having to adjust your shots. They got big fellas in the middle in the paint. So it's going to be hard to beat UConn, so I'm picking them.
Miami is on a roll. Like we said, they've got some – they got dudes. They can really – get after it, but over the course of the year they have not been as good of a defensive team as UConn, and I think that could catch up to them here. I think UConn is more complete, so I will take them.
I'm gonna take UConn as well. I mean, Miami, it just seems like sometimes they just don't miss offensively, but UConn, this is a fun stat, in the tournament UConn is averaging 81 points a game and is averaging holding their opponents to an average of 59 points.
Good lord.
I mean, that is just absolutely ridiculous. Teammates, I think you hit the nail on the head. They are so complete, offensively and defensively.
And if they miss, they get the rebound.
Yes.
Exactly. They're one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country.
They are so complete. So I think it's going to be an FAU UConn national title game. But that's going to do it for us today. We will be back Monday at 11 a.m. The Sounds game tonight has been postponed until tomorrow. You can find Sounds coverage on 94.9 The Fan. The Predators in action tomorrow night. Puck drop at 7 o'clock against the St. Louis Blues. We'll have your pregame coverage at 6 o'clock on 102.5-106.3 The Game.
Be love and love on somebody. Peace.
Have a great day, guys. Enjoy the sunshine.